Welcome back to EcoTalk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. Next up, Shauna Weber, our sustainability and higher education specialist. This piece is an insider's look into the rapidly growing field of sustainability professionals. 250 of them met at a meeting hosted by Yale just a few weeks ago. Gus Speth, the longtime leader in the sustainability movement, dean of the Yale School of Forestry and the Environmental Studies, and frequent EcoTalk guest, was the keynote speaker to this crowd of people who are transforming institutions of higher education.
On the edge of the Yale University campus in New Haven, Connecticut, 250 campus sustainability professionals gathered a few weeks ago. The event was the now annual Northeast Campus Sustainability Consortium meeting. Institutions of higher education are poised on the cusp of something very exciting for this century, and indeed the world. To give you a taste of what this is all about, imagine you are there with me as we listen to the keynote speaker, Gus Speth, Dean of the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. Dean Speth has been a leader in the environmental movement long enough to recognize the importance and potential of this historic moment.
Things are happening. Things are happening on the issues that we are concerned about. There's more opportunity now for environmental progress than there has been in a long time. I would predict that you'll be able to get more done in your colleges and universities in the years immediately ahead than you could possibly have imagined just a year ago, for example. One reason for that is that the gravity of our environmental challenges is sinking in, perhaps at long last.
We can no longer ignore the problem of global climate change and hope it will go away. If we ignore it, we will continue doing exactly what we're doing now, a sure recipe for an unpleasant future, if not for us, then for our children.
Consider that really all we have to do to ruin the planet for our children and our grandchildren, all we have to do is just keep doing exactly what we're doing today. Just keep putting out the same amount of greenhouse gases, consuming the same amount of fish, releasing the same amount of toxic chemicals.
So the challenge is a daunting one. If we continue to grow with a business-as-usual approach, it will become increasingly difficult for us to succeed in addressing the problem. The question is not one of growth versus no growth. It's a question of how we grow and how quickly we can make that shift.
What we have to conclude, and it's obvious, is that that growth cannot resemble in any way the growth of the past. It has to be dramatically different. Transportation has to be different. Energy production has to be different. Chemicals and the use of chemicals have to be different. Agriculture has to be different. Construction, energy use, water use, it's all got to be very, very different and starting now.
It will be a race to the finish line.
We're in what I firmly believe is the most important race in human history. It's the race to change our politics, to change our technology, to change consumption patterns and habits, to change population growth rates, to make all of these changes faster than the world economy is growing. Much faster.
And this isn't ultimately just a task for higher education. This is a global challenge, the ultimate opportunity for global cooperation. But the training for this challenge can begin in our colleges and universities, and from there create ripple effects that will impact all professions, as well as our own personal behaviors.
We need to make environmental management of our activities the number one priority of governments and peoples everywhere, and to cope with this challenge of environmental management, I think we've got to build a new academic field, one that we see beginning to be born under the mantra of this phrase, sustainability science. And we need this knowledge to permeate all sectors of society, including the traditional professions that we train, business and law and science and engineering and medicine and so on. And we need this knowledge to motivate a revolution in personal choice as each of us carries out our daily lives.
In fact, what is likely needed is for every student to be steeped in the essence of environmental decision making, so as they pursue their various paths, they are able to be effective agents of transformation. But first, the institutions themselves must be models for knowledge and inspiration. And I would argue that every one of us must begin to think of ourselves as both students and teachers of sustainability, whatever our area of expertise. As each one of us does that, In even the smallest ways, those decentralized activities will add up to global influence.
Decentralized local actions, university-based actions, and many, many others are beginning to address a global scale problem. Many people feel overwhelmed by these issues, but think of what we can do. We can imagine goals being set for renewable energy and for reductions in greenhouse gas emissions by businesses and universities, by communities and states, then by groups of states and groups of universities and national associations of many types, including educational institutions, and prodded on by students and by other stakeholders to the point that these decentralized actions are actually going to scale and beginning to change the world. And this isn't a distant vision. This has already begun in our country. And it's a great privilege for all of us to have a chance to be part of it.
It is an exciting and historic time to be part of the sustainability effort, as awareness and concern are building at an unprecedented rate. So for those of you who have been slowly making progress in various areas of sustainability over the last 20 years, brace yourself for a lot of fun and a very full schedule. Covering sustainability in higher education, I'm Shauna Weber for EcoTalk.
Thanks, Shauna. Brace yourself for this tip from Nerdy Books. If you want to really recycle, consider becoming an organ and tissue donor. One donor can provide organs, bone, and tissue for 80 or more people in need. Unfortunately, thousands of Americans die each year due to a lack of donors. For more information, go to www.donatelife.net. Choose a state, then fill out the form. It takes only minutes to give the gift of a lifetime. Now, this may not be an environmental tip per se, but it is, of course, the noblest form of recycling. Thank you for joining us for this edition of EcoTalk. We hope you've enjoyed our program. If there's other topics you'd like to hear about, or if you just want to tell us what you think of our program, we are in the midst of revamping and hopefully ramping it up, and we'd like to hear from you. You can email me personally at betsy@ecotalk.net. You can do that through our website at www.ecotalk.net. And you can also listen to segments you may have missed or caught part of at our website. And we think you'll find a lot of other interesting resources there as well. We'll be back with another edition of EcoTalk. In the meantime, have a great green 24 hours.